Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with breaking news from Israel. The military says it's recovered the remains of five Israeli hostages held in Gaza. Reporter Linda Gradstein has details from Jerusalem.
The bodies of the four men and one woman were located in a tunnel in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis based on intelligence information, including from interrogations of detained Hamas members. All five had previously been declared dead by Israel.
The news comes as Prime Minister Netanyahu gets set to meet with President Biden and Kamala Harris separately at the White House a day after his address to the U.S. Congress. President Biden addressed the nation last night, explaining his decision to drop his bid for re-election and endorse his vice president, Kamala Harris.
The best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation.
Dozens of family members watched from the sidelines in the Oval Office. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
It was a difficult moment for him, a difficult moment for his family. And in fact, Ashley Biden, his daughter, we're told, had her eyes closed and was nodding silently and breathing deeply as her father spoke. And at one point, she even dabbed her eyes with the sleeve of her shirt.
The switch from Mr. Biden to Harris has mobilized voters. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
Almost 40,000 people registered to vote in the 48 hours after President Biden dropped out of the race. The largest number of signups in a two-day period for this election cycle. In a new memo, the Harris campaign chair stressed support among female, non-white, and younger voters is critical to success.
At his first solo campaign rally since Mr. Biden's exit, the Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, took aim at his new opponent.
Now we have a new victim to defeat, Lion Kamala Harris, Lion, L-Y-I-N apostrophe.
He spent a lot of his stump speech in Charlotte, North Carolina, labeling the vice president as a radical liberal unfit to lead the country. The strongest typhoon to hit Taiwan in 8 years has killed at least three people and swamped the island's southern city of Kaohsiung. The BBC's Debbie Russ.
Taiwan's Coast Guard is searching for nine Burmese sailors who were on board a cargo ship that also sank in the rough seas caused by Typhoon Gemi. The typhoon is now moving towards the Chinese mainland.
Schools, offices, and stock markets are closed there for a second day. Big changes afoot at a discount airline. For the first time in its more than 50 years, Southwest says it'll start assigning seats and offering pricier ones with extra legroom beginning next year. Southwest also has plans to restart overnight flights. Dow futures down 50. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Last we knew, an armed and dangerous man was still on the loose in the Baraboo area. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It started with an attempted traffic stop. That led to a chase, stop sticks, then a crash. Baraboo police say the man started shooting at them, then ran into the woods. One deputy has a minor injury. There was a shelter-in-place order that's since been lifted. The suspect is 32-year-old Jeffrey Edward Miller with brown, short, or shaved hair and a medium-length beard with tattoos on his face. If you see him, call 911.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. A safety reminder for ATV and UTV riders. 20 people have died in recreational vehicle crashes in Wisconsin this year. Last year, 95% of fatal crash victims were not wearing a helmet. Wardens say remember to wear safety equipment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Another Brewers win at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cubs with another back-and-forth battle, tied at two apiece in the ninth. William Contreras comes up with a double to center field, driving in the winning run. 3-2 the final in favor of Milwaukee. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Offensively, we didn't execute. What I loved is William had two poor at-bats, and then he came back with three crucial at-bats.
College football. Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh tells the camp at Big Ten Media Day he's considering a 25th anniversary ceremony to honor the 1999 Badgers football team and says it's time to recognize Ron Dayne as the greatest rushing running back in NCAA history.
That issue is obviously a very personal issue to me, but it's also one that's very much aligned in the role that I hold today and to our fan base and to our program. I don't understand the methodology or the thinking behind it. I think it's a fair thing for our program to take the position that he's the all-time NCAA rushing leader.
That's Wisconsin's Chris McIntosh. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Mostly sunny through the weekend. More humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Comedy Sports' own Mike Kauf. And it's National Wine and Cheese Day, so we'll act all sophisticated and talk wine and cheese.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06, and nice to have you here on this Thursday morning, July 25th. Coming up, we'll discuss President Biden's national address about his decision to pull out of the 2024 presidential race. We'll get a clip from that. You can compare it to a clip from Donald Trump that he's making at his recent rallies. Also, State Representative Melissa Ratcliffe is the focus of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, as she talks about her run for a seat in the Wisconsin State Senate. And in case you missed it last hour, I'm sure we will talk again about U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, apparently feeling so confident about his odds against Tammy Baldwin that he's launched a secondary campaign within his Senate campaign to be your life coach. And we'll play clips from his what he says is a new video series about happiness and how to find it from Eric Hovde coming up. If you'd like to join us along the way, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number or text it. You can also use the Civic Media app to call us or text us. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, put a comment or a question in the comment section, and we will get it on the air and address your questions or concerns. Let's see here. We've got Rob from Tigerton, I know, has a report out here somewhere. There it is. On the text line from where he commented here on Facebook. Good morning from Tigerton. It's bright, sunny, and 56. Busy day of mowing before the hot, humid weather comes in this weekend. I'm happy that Brittany has nice weather for the EAA. And it's at the Air Venture where you find her again standing near the control tower, which is fine. It's fine, but I mean, Greg, let's be honest. Wouldn't it be great if one of these times we pop up her camera and she's like, in a cockpit with like the Blue Angels or something flying upside down, you know, at supersonic speed, something like that.
I want old timey like biplane where they're flipping upside down and she's like in the back and just
she's strapped to the wing. Yeah.
Pilot jumps out with a parachute and she's trying to find something. She finds a snake. Why is there a snake in this plane? I don't know. It's old timey fun.
God, we just watch too many cartoons as a kid. Brittany, good morning.
Brittany, you were muted.
I think you are muted there, ma'am. She's going to go hit her button that says mute, unmute, and there she's there now.
All right. Now you guys can hear me. So.
Yes, we
yes,
can.
I wish I was in a plane upside down, inverted right now. That would be so fun. But the Blue Angels actually did fly over yesterday. They did one Passover, and that was it, and they were gone afterwards. But they didn't let me in. I will say it's been freezing out here in the mornings, and also the internet. I wish I could take you further away with me. There are so many cool things to see in planes, but I am bound to where the internet is working, which is right here. So you get the control tower.
The electronic leash of the hotspot. I understand. But yeah, it has been, you know, just a little bit below normal, which is pleasant for a lot of folks. But it looks like we can go back to the 80s here at some point soon.
Yes, we can. And I will say, earlier this morning, I was able to see my breath. That is how humid it has been. Our temperatures have been falling right to that dew point. So if you've been up early in the morning, you've been feeling that crisp and you've been seeing your breath as well, which is just wild to say in the middle of summer. But as we go through our afternoon, blue skies, dry conditions, high pressure system is in place. And of course, as we go through this afternoon, highs in those mid to upper 70s. Most of us feeling the upper 70s, but the further north you live, you'll have some mid 70s. Calm winds, nothing to worry about. And like Pat said, we are going into the 80s as soon as tomorrow for a good chunk of us and continuing to rise towards the mid 80s into the weekend. And all that rain holding off until Sunday night and Monday.
That's okay. We've had plenty this year. We can take a little break from that. That would absolutely be nice. Brittany, I don't think I've ever asked. I mean, it looks like you're clearly having fun at the EAA. You like what you're seeing there. Do you have experience, like either, you know, with flying small planes, or you just like to go to air shows and watch? Is there just a particular personal connection?
Okay, so it started off, I think it's became weather and just studying it and watching the clouds. You want to be a part of the cloud. So I think that's where I started to want to fly. My first year here at EAA gave me the bug, though. I became addicted. I've been here ever since. And just meeting and talking to all these different pilots and all the different options you can do, I had no idea the amount of jobs and different things just flying has to go with. So I started taking some lessons. I've been up in some airplanes, small private planes flying around. I don't have many hours under my belt, probably about 5, let's be real, but I'm still working on it and it is a blast. And I've actually been in a plane where it's been inverted. I've been doing aerobatics. I wasn't the one flying, but I've been in it. So I wish I had that video for you guys, because I definitely
almost used before. Oh my gosh.
Is Brittany Merlot just the most exciting person we know? I mean,
might be the coolest. Yes.
I mean, you're like, oh man, I've always wanted to do this. Oh, I did that back in 1995 and I was hanging out with Harrison Ford. And I'm like, I got this, Harry. We're doing the thing my way. And I'm like,
She is. She's like our Renaissance woman over here. So what would you like to do next? I mean, would you like to just hop over the lake and go to Kalamazoo for lunch or something? What's your goal from an airplane perspective?
That would be probably my goal. I want a seaplane. So I want to be able to take off and land on the water. So that's my next goal. Otherwise, yesterday I saw an F-22. I want to go for a ride in that jet. Those are crazy.
Oh my gosh. We do have a plane that lands on Lake Wissota every so often, lands and takes off, gets a lot of attention from folks, you know, because you don't want to be in the way, right? You know, everything is the runway as far as they're concerned on the lake out there. So well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. That sounds like a lot of fun for you.
Thank you. Yes, it has been such a blast. I love this week of the year.
I really thought we were going to have a different conversation by Thursday, where she was going to, after camping for 4 days, she'd be like, I'm busting out of here. I need civilization.
No, you know, but the camp is really nice. They have showers. They have bathrooms that have AC. You know what I mean? Everything you need. It just wears on you. The weather. It's always the weather.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'd like the showers. I thought by now you'd be like, I smell like that old pan of lasagna you guys keep joking about. And no, you're actually having a grand old time. Good for you.
I might smell like that.
No. At best, you glisten. Thank you, Brittany, very much. Have another fun day.
Thanks. You too, guys.
All right. Coming up on the show tomorrow, of course, our usual Friday lineup. We will have Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. We will have a former U.S. attorney, Jim Santel. We'll have Mark Jacob here to talk about all the media coverage of some very big stories this week. Dan Schumacher will join us to talk about sports, especially now that the Brewers and Cubs series is done for the season already, for the regular season at least. And I'm sure we'll talk about the Summer Olympics, because they get underway tomorrow in Paris with the opening ceremony. You can always catch up with what we're doing through our daily newsletter at Up North News. Again, Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we're so happy to be a part of this little partnership in the mornings here. Our newsletter, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. In there today, you will also find an editorial column from Maggie French of Wauwatosa about the differences between Eric Hovde and Senator Tammy Baldwin on the issue of women's health care rights. We'll also have in there a link to our recent interview with Richard Trent, the new National Executive Director for Main Street Alliance, a true voice for small businesses in the country. Again, find all of that in our daily newsletter. But speaking of Eric Hovde, Greg and I have been talking about this morning about I don't know the backstory. I just know that Eric Hovde put up a post saying something like, as promised, here's part one of my new video series on happiness. I'm like, oh, wait, who asked you to be our life coach?
Who asked you to promise us?
I know. He looks very California New Age in his grossly unbuttoned way too far shirt, standing in front of a grove of trees. And there's no candles. I don't hear any chimes. There might be crystals. There might not be. But if you missed it last hour, let's play a couple of clips of it. Here's how it begins, don't you know?
Okay, this is my first segment on life, health, and happiness. As I said when I introduced this, I said I would start with talking about two words, gratitude and perspective. Gratitude has been studied by researchers, and they have found that happy people have one commonality. They're grateful. They have a lot of gratitude, thankfulness for what they have in their life. That may be their family that they have. It may be their friendships. It may be their job. It may be the beauty of planet Earth. It may be just breathing air. It's people that have gratitude and are thankful what they have radiate a greater level of joy and happiness.
Sure. But I mean, at the same time, you've been, blaming single moms for their plight. You've been saying if you're in a nursing home, you're going to be dead soon, so you can't vote. If you're a farmer, you don't work as hard as farmers used to in the past. So I'm not exactly sure where he gets this happiness from, but let's explore a little bit further.
And being grateful is not tied to material things. They have looked at people that come from great wealth and have no gratitude, and they've gone to countries where people are pretty darn poor and have very little, and they can find people with great levels of gratitude. Gratitude doesn't really matter based on material goods or economic class at all. It's how you look and your perspective on life.
Well, those are words. There's no doubt there. Those are words about happiness. And yet, to hear what Eric Hovde then says in his political ads is something that certainly does not sound like a happy man at all. The things that he says about Senator Tammy Baldwin, the things that he says, for example, about immigration and border crossings. You know, as President Biden mentioned in his address last night, border crossings are now lower than the level they were when Donald Trump left office. But folks like Eric Hovde, Donald Trump and others love to rail against immigrants because they don't have anything positive to talk about, nothing that shows that this is a happy person. And as Joe Zepecki said in our last hour, it's a lot easier to lecture people on happiness, when you're a multimillionaire and, one of your employees asks you for a raise and you say, well, you should be grateful. Greg, you should have gratitude for this bowl of porridge. Don't be asking for a second one.
Hey, I'm just happy for air. I was told I should have gratitude for air. So, nice.
So we'll continue to follow Eric Hovde, life coach, and his new series as this goes on throughout his Senate campaign. We will be talking eventually here with our friends from Women Win Wisconsin, Motherhood for Good. We'll talk to Nicole Slavin, we'll talk to Kate Duffy, and we'll talk to State Representative Melissa Radcliffe, who's running for state Senate. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in a moment.
The Shaw, WAUK. Jazz up your week with the many opportunities to enjoy music at Cutler Park. Jazz at Cutler is featuring Marsha Daniel and her combo on Wednesday, July 24th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Les Paul Performance Center. Following on Thursday, July 25th at Les Paul Performance Center, Jazz Express is playing at 8 p.m. Stop by to tap your feet to the jazzy tunes from the big band era. It's great music and tons of fun for the summer. Jazz up the week at Cutler Park.
Whether it's a picnic in the park or a cool and easy dinner, when it's too hot to cook, sandwiches in summer go together like peanut butter and jelly. And there's no better bread to build your favorite sandwich on than Country Hearth Natural Breads. Try their Dakota-style 12-grain or 100% whole wheat bread. Bake the old-fashioned way with whole grains and real honey. Country Hearth Hearty Breads are not only a nutritious choice for your family, but a delicious one too. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show. Don't you forget about me.
Don't. I wouldn't have blamed Joe Biden one bit if he played this tune, you know, before stepping out of the Oval Office, as he will 6 months from now. There is an election coming up first, though, on August 13th. It is a primary election in some places across Wisconsin, but there is a statewide election as well for two constitutional amendments that Republicans in the legislature are trying to sneak through that would give them greater control to hold back federal dollars designed to go to Wisconsin residents, businesses, farmers, families, education, and more. If you'd like more information about where to vote on August 13th and what exactly is on the ballot, head to myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. The Brewers had already clinched the season series against the Chicago Cubs and only rubbed a little more salt in the wound yesterday by beating the Cubs 3-2 on a William Contreras tie-breaking double in the top of the ninth, as Milwaukee went on to that victory. Contreras' hit scored Blake Perkins, who had singled to lead off the ninth inning, and that allowed the National League Central Division leaders to end the day on a winning note and come into an off day here before they start a three-game weekend series against Miami starting tomorrow evening, and then three more early next week against Atlanta. Unfortunately, there's bad news to pass along again as well. It's Christian Yelich again and his back. He's been placed on the 10-day injured list because of inflammation in his lower back, but there's a lot of chatter that Yelich may miss some significant time because of the injury. All right, back to what President Biden had to say yesterday in remarks delivered from the Oval Office. He talked a lot about the people who had served this country, the people who have dreamed of serving, and serving as long as, you know, their talents and ambitions and experience were serving the American people. And the president noted a lot of things that he had accomplished. He said that, you know, in recent weeks, despite that record, it had become clear that he needed to think about his party, needed to think about his country, and needed to think a little bit less about running for re-election. And so I wanted to play a little bit of what the president had to say in his closing remarks from the Oval Office. He'll still be on the campaign trail. He still wants to point America in what he thinks is a good direction for these next 6 months. But here's a little bit more of what he had to say in his speech from the Oval Office last night.
You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. But there's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now.
So there was Biden concluding his speech, and I think a lot of Americans, not just supporters, not just Democrats, thought that they were heartfelt remarks that were delivered well. Meanwhile, Donald Trump had watched Biden's remarks from his private jet that all your campaign donations continue to pay for, and he posted on his social media platform that the president, quote, was barely understandable and so bad, with a lot of O's in the word so. Again, very grown up, very presidential. He was on his way to a rally in North Carolina. He gave a lot of the same talking points that he's given before. For example, in Michigan the other day, he was speaking. And, of course, in Michigan, he wants to talk about the auto industry. And like everything else, he says he can snap his fingers, basically, and will something back into place the way that he wants it. Remember during his first acceptance speech in 2016, he was talking about crime and saying, I alone can fix it. Well, he alone didn't, and he didn't fix a lot of things. But here he is talking in Michigan last week about he can bring back any industry he wants. He could bring back the auto industry. He could bring back the cement industry. What? Play that again.
Back. I'm not talking about lots of other industries. I'm talking about the auto industry because it's such a big industry. I can say we're going to bring back cement. We're going to bring back all sorts. I'm just talking very simple. It's so simple. It's going to happen so fast. You're going to be at a level as though you were from 30, 40 years ago. You're going to manufacture cars again at a level that you haven't seen in many, many decades. You probably have to get rid of this fool, this stupid idiot representing the United Auto Workers, because he sells the auto. You know, I'm much more popular than anybody with the auto workers. We're going to get 95% of their vote.
No, you're not. you're going to get more than you deserve because you're going to say things that are going to appeal to, you know, a rather unattractive part of some of those workers. But in terms of what you're going to do for them, for the economy, raise your hand if you think Donald Trump can bring back single-handedly the American auto industry to where it was 30, 40 years ago. I'm looking through the radio. I am not seeing a lot of hands out there. If you're going to build more cars in this country, you're going to embrace electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles. More of those are being made in this country. And for somebody who wants to get rid of electric vehicle mandates, he's promising to get rid of jobs in the future in America by promising tariffs on electric and hybrid vehicles that will be in demand by consumers. But by slapping tariffs on them, he's promising to raise the price. He understands what I'm about to say here, but he's counting on his supporters not to understand. When he keeps talking about tariffs, I'm going to make China pay, and I'm going to make Mexico pay, and I'm going to make Europe pay. They don't pay. I mean, they do, but then they raise the price. And Americans are still going to be purchasing some of these things, but at sharply higher prices because of Donald Trump. And for him to, again, you know, personally criticize the head of the United Auto Workers Union is understandable because President Biden actually walked a picket line with United Auto Workers when they struck and won fairer wages and better conditions. Well, Donald Trump spoke at a scab shop. And seriously, good luck trying to say you're going to improve the plight of auto workers while you're also trying to undermine their union. Or you could work together, which is what President Biden did. He walked with the union, but he also helped facilitate the discussions that led to new contracts and better conditions for workers. So President Biden had a lot to say about the things that he had accomplished. And yes, again, he made the case to say that he believed those things merited a second term, but that there's more to a campaign than saying, well, I've earned this. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. Joe Biden does not have a sense of entitlement. He thought he could campaign on his merits and win, but he could clearly see it was coming down to a campaign of saying, well, I'm entitled to this. Never mind your concerns about my age. And he recognized that his merits are great, but that the time had come to pass the torch. And the torch is being passed to somebody who wants to grow jobs in this country, not promise to take us 30, 40 years backwards in ways that he cannot conceivably do. Our Women Win Wisconsin segment is coming up next. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you feel like you've been getting bit by mosquitoes more than last year, you're not alone. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The recent heavy rains across Wisconsin have heightened mosquito pressure in many areas of the state, particularly in regions like the Driftless area and the North Woods. State entomologist PJ Leash gives us some insight.
Yeah, well, the rain certainly has had an impact on our mosquitoes, and in many parts of the state, there is pretty high mosquito pressure out there. I have been getting reports from around Wisconsin, and especially some areas such as the western part of the state, the Driftless area where there's more woods, and also the North Woods. Those parts of the state in particular seem to have really high mosquito pressure. The North Woods isn't too surprising with all the water. We always seem to have mosquitoes up there. But again, southwestern Wisconsin, some surprisingly high pressure there.
PJ Leash is Wisconsin's state entomologist. He's also known as the bug guy. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news in 60 seconds.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, back with a look at your agribusiness news on a Thursday. You could be the one to sing the national anthem to kick off CattleCon 2025 in San Antonio, Texas. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is looking for the next singing sensation to open the convention with the Star Spangled Banner in early February. The association is accepting entries through October 15th. Just visit convention.ncba.org. After a 10-year hiatus, Grassworks has reopened its grazing school. Director Laura Payne says that the school is intended to give people a hands-on experience in livestock grazing. The first session is August 9th and 10th in Marshfield. Another is scheduled in late September in Lancaster. There are still spots open. You can find the details at MidwestFarmReport.com. And for the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east to northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 61. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Mostly sunny through the weekend. More humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at President Biden's address to the nation and your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Time for our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Learn more about Motherhood for Good on Instagram. Search for Motherhood for Good. That's very simple. Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Good morning.
You sound, hey, I could be upbeat because I'm coming out of a commercial break, but after the show, I'm going to be just like that as well because it's been quite a week, hasn't it?
It has been a week, but I wasn't being sarcastic. I'm good. Things are good.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at after the news on Sunday, in the 48 hours after the president said he was pulling out of the race and endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris, vote.org reported nearly 40,000 new voters registered across the country, the largest number ever in a 48-hour period. And of those, get this, of those 40,000 new registrations, 83% were from people ages 18 to 34.
Yes.
And that's not all happening in a vacuum. Kate, Nicole, that's happening because of you two and everybody at Motherhood for Good and all these other groups saying, you guys, get off the couch, get out of the kitchen, get out of your recliner, get out of your car, get out of whatever, get registered and get involved. Nicole, that's a feather in the cap to you guys.
It's huge. I have a 19-year-old. I'll tell you, when the news broke, my kid was with friends and texted me and like had this amazing moment and then said, hey, what's that link again? They want to register to vote right now. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, all the things are happening. Like, and you don't ever want to act too excited around teenagers because then they like scatter to the wind. So I was like, cool. And I'm like, yeah, here you go.
Don't scare them. Don't startle them. Don't.
Questions. Do they know who their reps are? And, you know, no, I just like sent the link quietly and figured we'll do some cleanup follow-up afterwards. So
my daughters are in their early 30s and they text and go, what do you think of this? And you know, this, and like, well, yeah, you should get registered where you are in your respective states. Kate, yours are a little too young to register to vote yet, but yeah. The activities are still, you were at the Harris rally in West Dallas.
I was, the energy was amazing. I mean, everybody was so happy, obviously, like, you know, so many people have loved and respect Joe Biden as a president. But obviously there was such a seismic shift in energy when the announcement over the weekend, and you could feel that at the rally. There were so many people there. Everybody was so excited, so happy. I had an opportunity actually to meet her backstage before she went on. And I had met her back in February or March when she was here to kick off the Repro Rights rally. And I walked up and they kind of like said my name to her. And I was holding Emma, my baby, and she goes, oh my gosh, you were pregnant last time I was here for the Repro Rights rally, and now here's your baby. I'm like, what? Like, that's who she is. She's like so cool. She remembers people. She like truly looks at you when she has conversations. So the energy was good. Her energy was amazing. She was just glowing, and it's very exciting.
Well, and I think what really helped her and her cause here, and it obviously wasn't her intent at the start of the year, but when she and the rest of the Biden-Harris team said, you're going to get out there and you're going to kick off that national speaking tour in January on reproductive rights, and you're going to start it in Wisconsin. And then she's been raising, you know, her level in the public eye throughout the course of the year, which takes us to State Assembly Representative Melissa Ratcliffe, who's now running for a state Senate seat in and around Dane County as well. Melissa, we've often talked about the Dobbs decision, but you also have the vice president starting this speaking tour, and you have all these voter registrations. It seems pretty clear to me, and I think you're about to confirm it, there's so much more interest in this election cycle than in many others in the past.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for having me. And that is the number one issue that I hear at doors is reproductive rights, access to abortion. I have two teenagers as well, a 15 and 19 year old. And right, like, I want them to have same rights that I had. I want a better future for them. I don't want to have them having to fight for their rights. So that keeps me going, fighting for them and all of our families.
Give us a little background on the on your particular campaign, because again, you're a state assembly rep, but we have new maps this year. So tell us what all has happened in your area, what has changed, and what you're running for now.
Thank you. So I'm currently the state's representative for Assembly District 46, which the numbers don't mean anything to anybody, because especially with the new shakeup. But the area that I live in is, I live in Cottage Grove, and that includes Cottage Grove, Sun Prairie, and a little bit of the east side of Madison. But in the new maps, it goes from Cottage Grove out to Fort Atkinson Lake Mills, which is Jefferson County. So we shifted the map to go east. So it had, it's a little bit less blue now, and it includes a lot of rural areas. It also includes Sun Prairie. The Senate district includes Sun Prairie, and then Fitchburg and Stoughton, McFarland. So it's a huge area in Dane County. It's like the east side of Dane County and includes half of Jefferson County, basically.
Is this an open seat in the Senate?
I love this question. So it's never easy. But currently, Senator Agard represents District 16. She lives in Madison, which she no longer is in the district with these new maps. And she's running for Dane County Executive. So it's basically an open seat.
So I guess I have two questions. One kind of being what we just talked about, as from the perspective of somebody who is currently an elected official and running again, have you felt that energy shift in the past week when you're out talking to people, and are you excited about that? And then I guess my second question is, when you're out talking to people in regards to the new maps, do you find, and mostly because I'm like, ooh, we got to get some content up about that and make sure everybody knows what to do. Do people know, are they aware of the map changes? Or are you needing to kind of explain that? Where's like the temperature on all of that as well?
So interesting, being in Dane County, we have a lot of people that are more active and involved.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm answering your second. Yeah, I'm answering your second question first. Okay. They pretty much know, but they don't know like where all the lines are, because it's been really confusing where to find the right information. In the areas that are now part of Senate District 16 that used to be in a red district, they're ecstatic that they get to have Democratic representation. And they didn't know that they would, because they've been under Republicans for more than 15 years. So the opportunity to actually be able to vote for a candidate who is a Democrat, who represents their values, and it's not just going to be a Republican vote, like they aren't just voting for a Democrat, that it'll actually matter, like that. They're very excited for that. And then your second question, yes, before Joe Biden announced that he was not going to run for re-election, that people were scared. I mean, they were worried about what was going to happen in November. We were all going to vote for Biden, right? Like it was, we need to keep Trump out of office. But they were worried because of so much negativity being geared towards Biden. So the shift has been very dramatic, really, at Doors. It's more uplifting. There's excitement, and that enthusiasm is there. And I'm super excited. Like Kamala was who I voted for to be the nominee in 2020. And obviously, I'm excited about Joe Biden being the president. And I'm going to, like, now I'm really excited about getting to vote for Kamala, for a woman to be president.
That's wonderful. Kind of going back to what we were chatting about earlier too, at the beginning of the show, I think the youth vote is going to be incredibly huge in this. And I think with the energy and excitement of Kamala Harris being on the ticket now, I think it's going to help, you know, up and down the ballot, obviously. But both of us having teenagers, I'm curious what matters to your kids and what you're learning from them. I really, truly believe the youth vote is going to be what decides this election. And obviously, those of us with teenagers, we were lucky in some ways in that we hear it every day in and day out, what matters to them. So what are you hearing from your kids, and how are you applying that to your campaign?
Yeah, the excitement is there now, right? Like my my son was going to vote for Joe Biden regardless, but now the energy has shifted where it's like they were going to capture their enthusiasm and propel us forward as we move into the November elections. And the I always think about the quote that I heard when I was a kid that I didn't understand at the time, but now I do. Energy or youth is wasted on the young, right? Like,
welcome to my world, Melissa. Yes.
We're gonna capture it.
let's run with this for a minute, because here's what I noticed in one article about the 38,000, nearly 40,000 new voters in a 48-hour period. It broke the old record set last September when Taylor Swift urged her followers to register. That resulted in 34,000 new voter registrations. Don't think for a moment she's not going to try to get that record back. So she's going to stay involved. And then you have the Harris campaign building off of Charlie XCX's Brat album, all of the memes and the organic growth of self-made TikTok videos, which we've talked about with candidates in the past, you know, about making videos, either Instagram Reels or TikToks. But the point being, Melissa, that you get this opportunity to reach out to younger voters, which we all did in the past, but it seemed like, you know, you were farting in a mitten, to borrow an old expression. And this time around, you're reaching out to those young voters and they're actually paying attention.
Yes. Yeah, it's... That's quite the saying there, Pat.
Thank you very much. It's again, sometimes I forget that I'm 60 and then I say words and I go, oh yeah, there you are. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one, so I'll just save that one for later. no, it's great when the youth work together. Like, they encourage their friends to register to vote. And that's something that having teenagers throughout my political career, it's something that we've been trying to work on, slowly getting my son's friends to register to vote and show up, even when it doesn't seem like, why should I vote? Like, right, telling them the reasons why it's important. But when they like a candidate, when they're excited for a candidate, that's when they really get involved. And that's what we're seeing now. Or like when they like an artist like Taylor Swift as well. So I just want to note that, so that when my kids watch this, they have told me I cannot make TikTok videos. They don't want to be embarrassed like that. So you will not be seeing that from my campaign. I'm sorry.
Challenge accepted. Go ahead, Kate.
So, quick question. I know the vice president has been a big proponent of expanding Medicare for postpartum women up to 12 months. And in Wisconsin, we are one of the few states that has not taken that expansion, many thanks to your Republican colleagues in the state legislature. With the new maps and us picking up more seats, do you think they're ready to start working across the aisle and get some things done? How are they feeling?
Yes. Yes, these maps are so exciting because in the assembly, we have the Democrats have the opportunity to take the majority again. And that's what we're geared towards and aiming at, working really hard. And after August 13th, I'm going to be helping other candidates to get elected, because that helps me to do my job better when there's support around me. Unfortunately, in the Senate, we aren't able to probably take the majority for Democrats because only half the seats are up. So that's another important thing about my race, is I'm committed to continuing to help elect other Democrats, because that's what I've been doing throughout my time working to get people elected, because having support around me at all levels helps the people that I serve.
I'm glad you mentioned the August 13th election as well, that you'll be doing more after that. But that up to that point, you certainly know, as a member of the legislature, watching the Joint Finance Committee sit on all this money that's already been budgeted and designed for other things. And now they want to sit on more, which is why so many people are suggesting a no vote on that. It's probably going to help turnout. Well, no, yeah. I take that back. It's definitely going to help turnout because these are just very important budget issues, and people like Melissa Radcliffe, whether she's in the assembly now or the state Senate later, would like to see an easier budget process. And so it's why she's running for a Senate seat and why so many folks are getting involved in campaigns all up and down the ticket. Melissa, thank you so much. Appreciate the visit. Good luck. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Pat. Good to
all
see
right.
you too.
Kate, Nicole, you guys are so busy. Let's talk next week maybe about some of your activities or videos that are coming up as well.
Absolutely.
How did Kate put it? She's going to get a landing page for all that stuff. So all the stuff. You keep all the stuff. Thanks, you guys. Have a wonderful week. When we come back, Luke Mathers will be here, and we'll talk more about some of the programs coming up on Civic Media and that comment from Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota that Republicans, they're just weird. More next.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
So, tomorrow is Yacht Rock night at the Brewer game. Can't get my captain's hat to fit over my headphones here. No, this is why I'm not Captain or Tennille. The Tennille to my captain, Luke Mathers, is here now. And why are you looking at me like that, Greg?
I thought I was either your captain and or Tennille. Oh, now try to save it.
Don't worry, Greg. You absolutely are, because somebody had a very, very nice wrap-up video last week for all of his guests and everything that they covered on Up North News Radio last week, and there was somebody missing.
Oh, no.
So I don't think I'm Captain or Tennille, Greg.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, you just want to listen to Michael McDonald. Hey, that's great.
I just wanted to find it here. Here was I was so proud of myself. I finally made a video that wrapped up all of the things that we did, all the things. And I listed Joe Trippi from the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, Olympic weightlifter Mary Tyson, author Jennifer Berkshire, Richard Trent, Jim Santel, Kristen Lierley, Kelly Peterson, Kate Duffy, Hans Breitenmoser, Mark Jacobs, Scott Ross, Joseph Pecky, Melissa Baldoff, Tan Schumacher, Sharita Booker, Selena Haller, Christina Laurie, Brittany Merlot, Greg Bach, Melissa Kay, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, Terry Bell. I'm an idiot.
And Luke Mathers. God. See, he said it. He said it, everybody. You heard it right there. He said it. I mean,
should I say something now over the weekend when I saw it, or should I save this for Thursday morning? And I was like, I'm saving it for Thursday morning.
You know what? This is radio karma. This is so perfect, because yesterday on Todd Alba's show, I hit him with something that he's always been saying the word across as with across. Yes. And I finally stopped him. I'm like, why are you always saying across? And he was very chagrined, much like I'm feeling right now. So, you know, you give and you get.
Yeah.
It's all good.
People in Racine also say across.
Do they?
Yeah. It might be an Illinois thing, though, because cows, I guess southwestern Wisconsin might get it too, though. How close you are to the border, because Kelsey also says across.
What state?
And I'm like,
what state?
Illinois.
Okay. I thought I heard an E in there.
She says Illinois, though. So I got to say the Illinois way the way my wife does. Gross.
Well, Todd was saying that, you know, being from Richland Center, we got to talking about colloquialisms and how for them, it's how somehow words like measure become measure. Anything with an EA sound measure comes off with an AY. You know, we talked about use guys and soda versus pop, you know, just all the differences between us. And in some cases that difference is, you know, one of us has an Alzheimer's gene going and apparently the rest of the people do not. So, Mr. Mathers, are we yacht rocking tomorrow night?
We're yacht rocking it up.
Okay.
All right.
I'm hoping so. Hoping so. Like I said, I got to take the car into the shop and make sure that it can make it there. But, you know, and that's what kind of a week this, but along with all the other news and everything else, has been, oh, yeah, I got to get that thing with my car fixed. And oh, yeah. Still
that's about it.
Continue and, working on it. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, that's for sure. And with the last couple of weeks that we've had a year's worth of news in those weeks, it's easy to forget those other things. So,
yeah. I've mentioned it a few times, and I figured while Luke was here, we'd get really weird. This is Donald Trump for people. What do you mean he keeps talking about sharks and being electrocuted? Let's just play it. This is Donald Trump, sharks and electrocution.
Because of MIT, my relationship to MIT, very smart. He goes, I say, what would happen if the boat sank from its weight and you're in the boat and you have
an electric motor,
this tremendously powerful battery, and the battery's now underwater and there's a shark that's approximately 10 yards over there.
Okay.
By the way, a lot of shark attacks lately. Did you notice that? A lot of shark
attacks.
I watched some guys justifying it today. Well, they weren't really that angry. They bit off the young lady's leg because of the fact that they were
Grandpa,
not
reel
hungry,
it back
they
in.
Misunderstood who she was.
They weren't angry.
Focus on the
money.
He said there's no problem with sharks. They just didn't really understand a young woman swimming now really got decimated and other people.
The battery. Shark attacks. The battery. Get back to the battery.
So there's a shark 10 yards away from the boat. 10 yards or here. Do I get electrocuted if the boat is sinking, water goes over the battery, the boat is sinking? Do I stay on top of the boat and get electrocuted? Or do I jump over by the shark and not get electrocuted? Because I will tell you, he didn't know the answer. He said, you know, nobody's ever asked me that
Nobody
question.
Knows.
I said, I think it's a good question. I think there's a lot of electric current coming through that water. But you know what I'd do if there was a shark or you get electrocuted? I'll take electrocution every single time. I'm not getting near the shark. So we're going to end that. We're going to end it for boats. We're going to end it for trucks.
If you watch the video of him giving the speech, there is a man on his stage left who, as soon as he says, I'll take the electrocution, he looks at his buddy and goes, me too. I totally would. Yeah.
And I set this all up because, again, my new favorite soundbite of the week is from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who's just been listening to all of this and all the other positions and had this to say.
These are weird people on the other side. They want to take books away. They want to be in your exam room. That's what it comes down to. And don't, you know, get sugarcoating this. These are weird ideas. Listen to them speak. Listen to how they talk about things. Listen to how your previous guests were right. Like you said, they've told them that they shouldn't talk about race. They can't help it. It is built into their DNA because there is no plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's nothing to do on this. They want to take away our alliances and leave Russia to do whatever they want. Look, they are bad on foreign policy. They are bad on the environment. They certainly have no healthcare plan. And they keep talking about the middle class that, as I said, a robber baron real estate guy and a venture capitalist trying to tell us they understand who we are. They don't know who we are.
But I say all this because Luke Mathers is working his heart out to help get some of these news broadcasts put together, these special reports that are scheduled, make sure all the talk shows are running smoothly. And we just have to take a moment sometimes, Luke, to go, yeah, there's some weighty issues out there. And sometimes there's just some weird stuff that we have to talk about.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed at the beginning of 2024 that how often shark attacks and electrocutions together were being talked about would be as frequent as they are this year.
The shark wasn't that angry. He just bit her leg off.
That's the understanding. It's not an aggression thing with sharks. That's like a biological nature. When you're out in the water, they mistake people for fish. And so if they're hungry, they'll go attack. It's not an aggression thing.
Wouldn't the shark get electrocuted?
I don't know. It sounds like Donald Trump is kind of workshopping the sequel to Deep Blue or the third Deep
and
Blue.
This instead. Is where we've come in our political discourse. Yeah. Thanks for playing along, Mr. Mathers. I hope
always a pleasure.
See at the ballgame tomorrow. Greg Bach will be back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air.
Mm-hmm.
Say goodbye, Greg.
Goodbye, Greg.
Thanks to today's guests, Melissa Radcliffe, Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, Joe Zepecki, and to all of you. Oh, and Luke Mathers.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks to all of you for being here this morning. I'm going to go take a 22-hour nap, and I'll see you in the morning.
The Shaw, WAUK. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll rehash Joe Biden's speech to the nation, and we'll see if Crudy can hold his good mood all the way to the weekend. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS